Hey everyone.
Hey everybody.
Welcome to Open Class. I believe it's 41. I was kind of hustling because I had this computer issue, but how are you, Michael?
Yeah, I'm doing good. I think it's 41. I think I goofed and I put like another 37 last week or something. I was like, I don't know. It's hard. Got to pay attention, I guess. Yeah, glad to be here.
All right. Well, we have four questions, I think. And the first one is kind of like one of those like success story in the making. So let's start with a really, really nice one to read. Let's jump in right away. Here it is, Google Docs. This is from Pat. We answered one or two questions from Pat in the past. Or let's read this one. I wanted to thank you and Coach Michael for answering my question on your YouTube channel. You have had such a positive impact on my sleep issues. I've been working with a therapist for about 8 weeks with some improvement, but I have to say that until I found you and Martin Reed, I felt despondent and worried that my sleep would never return to normal. My therapist has been okay, but kind of textbook-like and rigid about implementing the CBTI techniques. I decided to take a break for a couple weeks and let go of the sleep log. I felt as though the sleep log kept me thinking about my sleep too much. I really noticed an improvement in my sleep. I'm feeling better. Not sure how many hours I'm sleeping, but what matters to me is how I feel when I wake up. I remember you saying just that. I do not want to keep track of whether it's 5, 6, or 7 hours. Just want to feel rested and ready for the day. Last night, I had sort of an epiphany. I was in the bathtub, and I realized that I can have a decent or good day despite not sleeping as much as I'd like. And what's important is that I enjoy my day and have several positive moments. I do not want my life to revolve around how many hours I slept. So I began to let go and not let this take over my life. I still have work to do and will continue to observe certain techniques until I feel I'm satisfied with my sleep, but I do not want to obsess about sleep. I have to come to realize that I know what's best for me and I have to honor that. Your book was a godsend. Oh, thank you. I say this always. When you like my book, please review it. That helps so much. I put it down when I got to the chapter about detoxing from sleep related videos and online information. What a great idea. I'll finish it when I feel I'm ready to pick up again. The book is simply written and makes so much sense. It seems to me that overcoming insomnia really comes down to changing your thought patterns more than anything else, although certainly the CBTI techniques were very helpful. I just think there is not one size fits all approach and people have to do what they think will work for them and not keep them thinking about sleep too much. That just creates roadblocks. Well, I've gone on and on, but I want to say thank you. I think we will end there. It was just like a very, very nice smiley here in the end. So nice to hear, right, Michael?
Yeah, that's great. That's a great testimony and just some great points in there. You know, just like, you know, it's a change in thinking that really ultimately helps someone move past insomnia. That's what it really boils down to. And that could take a while. And it takes, like you said in the past, it takes courage, you know, it takes self-kindness, it takes all of these other things to kind of make it work. And once a person gets to that point, they become just kind of indifferent to a short night of sleep. It becomes like not anything, obviously not anything to be concerned about. It doesn't occupy their thoughts during the day. They, you know, don't mind being awake a little bit at night. Like this is kind of, it's the change in the way that you think about your sleep and you approach your sleep that leads you to this place of it not being a really big occupier of your thoughts while you're awake. Simple things like it was Pat that was talking to was you know, like taking a break from the sleep log, kind of that sleep detox idea. I think that can really help. You know, if someone just feels like they're just going down the rabbit hole and they're doing all the right things, you know, everything they've been reading or being told, and even things that we talk about, sometimes a person needs to just kind of pull back and just you know, like, you know, well, I don't know what you call it, like have a spa day, you know, meaning like no thinking about sleep at all, good, bad, anything. You just leave it alone, put it away, you know, you can get to it later, but just take a little break. I think that can go a long way for people. And I really encourage people to consider that if they feel they're kind of in that circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think there's too much to say here apart from what you said, Coach Michael, here, but exactly, getting real practical here. If somebody, you know, somebody tunes in here, what's, you know, real practical things to take away from Pat here is exactly letting go of the sleep log, not knowing how much you slept. Great. And it's interesting, this epiphany. I've heard somebody else say, it was particularly Jim, who was a guest here on the show. He said that one day he also had the same epiphany, like, I can have a good day even if I don't sleep that much. Then why am I trying so hard? Like, what? Why am I trying so hard for that? Super important one. So, Pat, thanks so much for sharing this.
Well done, Pat.
Always nice to have these, like, hopeful stories. So yeah, with that said, let's jump in. We have three other questions. So this wasn't really a question, this is just sharing, but we have three questions. One is from Simeon. Let's read this. Simeon says, I have not slept since 2018 proper, only a short nap in 2019 after being awake for 3 months. In October 19, 2015, January 1st, 2016, sometime around there, shortly after I turned 20, on October 19th, 2015, I had trouble getting to sleep the night after it happened, but it got worse and worse, and now I'm in pain constantly, and I haven't been able to fall asleep, and it's just like I'm in a living nightmare. This is from Simeon. Wow. What are your thoughts when you hear this, Michael? What are your thoughts immediately?
Wow. That's pretty powerful statements. I think, I would encourage Simeon to, just start kind of at the basics, instead of reflecting back on the last few years, everything is like moving forward at this point. And start with really simple things, just simple, get some basic sleep education going, education about how insomnia happens and how it keeps itself going. And just look for, just little things that you can do to kind of, start moving in the right direction. And, I think that was just my initial thought. Those are pretty strong statements. It's not worth, it's not helpful to, to confront these statements or to look for absolute truths in them. It's just, I would just say, past is past. There's no harm in having, poor sleep, short sleep. It doesn't cause any kind of condition. You're fine. It's moving forward. We want to just start from today and just get a little bit of a game plan going forward. And education is really the starting point for that.
100%. And I want to say say the same thing, but worded slightly different, which is one thing I learned from you, Michael, is that really focusing on the timeless night. I think that's often how you put it. And I've sort of expanded on that to the timeless way, which includes not knowing what time it is overnight, not checking the clock. And also if your mind says it's this time, then just kind of doubt it, be timeless overnight. But I think we should really expand that timeless way, not only for any individual night, but that timeless way. So often you hear people say, for me, it started 27 years ago. That means that this person has kept track for 27 years. And that is not helpful because insomnia feeds off attention. So apply the timeless way backwards. Don't focus on how long it's been going on. And apply the timelessness forward too. Don't try to project it's going to be this long or this long, it's this long. Just let go of time. It's a forward moving process. Start now, start learning, like what you might have said. And I think that'll be a great place for you to start Simeon. 100%.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, cool. Let's move forward here. And Simeon, any follow-up questions, let us know, of course. So this is from Philip. Who's been asking some really great questions on the channel lately. Let's read this. Hi, Daniel, Michael, how are you? I'm making progress. I can sleep in pretty easily and the night is timeless. Love it. Well, timeless. In the middle of the night, I still always wake up with a kind of tension in my body, hyperarousal ? I try to befriend wakefulness, get out of bed until I get tired, watch a bit of relaxing TV, then go to bed again. So far, so good. But then I never get to sleep again for the rest of the night. Maybe I'm not quite sleepy enough and I'm just fatigued. And do I need to stay up a bit longer? The pressure for going to sleep for a second time in the night is more sticky because it'll be about the last chance you will get that night. If one cannot sleep the second time, do we need to get up again for a second time as well? Just a split second before I fall asleep, my mind wakes me up. I think you may have made a video on that subject. How do I settle with that? but I just cannot find it anymore. Does the insomnia mind see being awake as an enemy or being asleep as an enemy? Thanks so much for this YouTube channel. I was on the edge of collapsing because I had the feeling nobody understood me. Thanks to your videos. I see the light at the end of the tunnel. Many greetings, Philip from Belgium. So, in fairness there, let me start commenting on this. So, and by the way, this was actually, I think Philip just kind of copy-pasted his a comment on the YouTube channel to our submission form, which, by the way, anyone out there who wants to submit a question to us, head over to our website, thesleepcoachschool.com. You can also check out our self-coaching master program, and you can submit questions. There's a banner on top which says, you know, if you have a question. But anyway, so I think Philip, he copy-pasted his comment. There was a nice discussion about, like, when you have insomnia, is it that the brain sees being awake as kind of the threat or being asleep as the threat? And Philip made the point that he's like, I thought that it was when the brain thinks that there's a problem, it's afraid of letting you sleep, which is true, but the fear is that the threat is wakefulness. So anyway, that became a nice discussion. But, you know, going over this one, so real practical here, Philip falls asleep a little bit easier, wakes up and tries to do something like watch TV, but doesn't really fall back asleep a second time, and that's sort of stressful. So what should you do? Well, I want to go this route to say that the reason you are actually falling asleep, and the reason that comes easier to you is that you're trying less to sleep. You're more okay with, like, you know, if you were really like, I gotta fall asleep this first time I go to bed, I gotta fall asleep now, it wouldn't happen. So the reason you fall asleep easily the first time is because you're like, you're more okay with, if I don't fall asleep, that's okay. And it's just more of the same. It is more of the same. It's like, apply that when you wake up too. Don't know what the time is, do something you like. And if sleep happens, great. If it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen that time. And you will see, like, when you just keep doing that, you will fall asleep that second time again.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that middle night wakefulness and quote unquote getting back to sleep. It's just like the start of the night. You can't control it. You have no control over this. You know, you can do a million things to get in the way of letting sleep happen, but there's nothing you can do to naturally make yourself fall asleep or fall back to sleep. And you just have to remind yourself of that. That has to be just like your, you know, if you want to think about sleep while you're awake, think about that. Remind yourself periodically, I'm not in control of this. I'm not. I can get in the way. You know, I can leave all my lights on and loud noises going and turn the temperature super high or hotter, cold, and I can get in the way. Like with that kind of stuff, with thinking, trying real hard, you know, doing like yoga poses, doing all kinds of things, you can get in the way. You can absolutely, there's a million ways to get in the way. There's no way to make sleep happen. So you just have to keep reminding yourself of that. You know, it's just like, you have to talk to yourself a little bit, you know, don't make people chase you around in white coats or whatever, but you know, just like you have to remind yourself, you have to just really understand, and that's where education comes in, really understanding the very, very completely passive nature of sleep. And when you learn that and you really start to experience it, and you know, that then it's like you get an aha moment. Some people get that single, like, oh, I get it now. Some people, it just sort of develops over time, but that is what happens with good sleepers, is they don't ever try in any way to get to sleep or back to sleep. And so if they're awake, they're awake. If they're not, they're not. If they're halfway awake and halfway not, you know, it's just, it is what it is. And so, you know, the brake on the gas brake thing, however you want to describe it, it's, you know, it's allowing that. I use that word a lot, allow sleep to happen. It doesn't mean it will, but you're doing what you can to get yourself out of the way.
Exactly, out of the way, exactly. And yeah, and Philip, last point here is just, yeah, there is actually a whole playlist on hypnic jerks and hypnic awareness, which is what you describe, where you're about to fall asleep and you just become aware that, oh, I was about to fall asleep, and then that wakes you up. So you can check that out. It's in the description to any new videos. There's that playlist that you can check out for more. Let's see here. Neil is here.
Yeah, hey, it's a great comment.
The term fall asleep suggests that we have no control over sleep. There's a reason that we don't jump to sleep.
I love that. I love that.
That is
great.
A good one. Exactly.
Yeah, because when you're falling, you are out of control, right? You know, think about like just, I don't know, you stand on the little something, a step stool, and you start falling. You are, for a moment, you're out of control. You have no control over it. Whatever happens is going to happen. So that's exactly like sleep. Neil, that's wonderful. I love that.
That is a good one. I'm going to use that one. Thanks so much, Neil. You don't jump to sleep. Love it. Love that one. Cool. Let's go on here with, I think there's one or maybe two questions left. I think there's only one actually. And it's from, Alexander or Alex. Alex. Hi, Daniel. My name is Alex Martin and I'm a medical student. I started getting insomnia 2 months ago and my work has suffered in med school. I'm terrified that I will not be able to live up to the performance of a physician and I will be saddled with insurmountable debt because of sleep. I know many people have a eureka moment when they decide that they can function without sleep and they will be okay, but the level of intensity that med school requires makes me scared I won't be able to add up. Any help is appreciated. Okay, 2 months ago. Yeah. I have some thoughts. I'll let you go. What are your first
thoughts? Oh, go ahead. Actually, go ahead. I'm really curious about how you could. You know, you're a doctor. He's talking about medical.
Oh, yeah. My first thought was that, Alex shared here that he was in, I guess it's he, but it could be she too, Alex. But anyway, I'll say he. Alex is in medical school, and that tells you something about a person. You know, if you're in medical school, that probably means that you are a fairly goal-oriented, organized, a person that likes to have a certain amount of control over things, you know, that is, you know, typical for somebody who has trouble sleeping. It is like, you know, if the four things, I haven't talked about this so much lately, but the four things I always, historically at least, tended to talk about as like what predisposes you, what makes you more likely to have insomnia at some point is type A personality, being sort of like an overthinker, being a health conscious and being, you know, having a tendency to worry too. Yeah. But yeah, so I think the first thing is just understanding this can be helpful because you understand that, okay, there's nothing unusual with this. Actually, it's pretty typical for someone like myself to have trouble sleeping. And it comes from my personality to some degree, you know, but that's not a problem. It's like there are millions and millions of people out there who are very high achieving, hardworking, type A personalities who sleep well because their focus has just not shifted towards sleep, you know. So that's the thing. There's nothing that keeps you from sleeping fantastic for the rest of your life. What's keeping you from doing that now is that you have kind of focused on sleep now and you're wondering, how can I sleep more? How can I get better set up? Now, what I want to maybe spend some time here is what we call a secondary attachment. So when you have insomnia, you have an attachment to sleep, meaning you don't just like want to sleep because all people want to sleep well. That's just normal. But you have a desire for sleep now. You know, you're wondering why you can't get it. You're hoping to get some more, etc. That is the primary attachment. You know, everybody with insomnia has that. If they didn't have that attachment, there wouldn't be anyone. But now you're adding like a secondary attachment. Not only do you want to sleep just for the sake of sleeping well, but now there's a secondary attachment. You want to sleep well so that you can make sure you finish med school. You want to sleep well so you can do the job of being a physician. And you can see that now there's like this additional level of pressure to sleep, which comes from, you know, this secondary attachment. And it can be really tricky, you know, to sleep well before you have kind of loosened up this secondary attachment. So the question, of course, becomes then, how can I do that? Well, you're already onto it. Like one way is kind of detective work, meaning like looking at, okay, this has happened for 2 months. And have I really done that poorly? Like, have I started failing exams? Are people asking me what's going on? Have I been kicked out of med school? Probably not. You're probably still in med school even 2 months later, which does tell you that you can function on a pretty high level even if you slept very little. And of course, you're wondering about how long further can I do that? Well, you know, I think you can do that for a very long time. I honestly think you can do that indefinitely. Not that I want that, but just to take the pressure off, meaning saying, you can function on a very high level, even if you struggle from insomnia. It's that hyper arousal, that intense level of alertness and vigilance that you have actually, you know, that keeps you very, very high functioning. But so you can do detective work and look at, okay, I have done well up to now, so I probably can do well going further. That reduces the pressure. But and if that doesn't work for you, then it's almost more effective to go down the route of kind of like, okay, I'm going to listen to these kind of worrisome thoughts from my brain that are keeping me up at night. My brain's telling me that if you don't sleep more, then you may not be able to function in med school and you may have to take a break from med school. And then, you know, you just, without any judgment or any particular intention, you just imagine that happening. Okay, I imagine now that I have to take a break from med school. I'm going to imagine telling the dean, like writing the letter, telling my parents, and just go there in your mind. You know, go to that place that you are so fearful of. And when you show the brain that I'm willing to think about this, I'm willing to imagine this thing that I'm so afraid of, that also removes so much pressure from sleep. So those are my immediate thoughts here. And Alex, you know, this has happened for 2 months. You can still imagine a time where you slept well. Just learn a little bit, spend some time on the channel here. And I have no doubt that you'll do really well and become an excellent physician. The end. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I really totally agree that whole, that kind of that predisposition to something. It's true with anything, you know, not just sleep. It's some people are predisposed to one other type of health thing or another, or just anything in life, really. People are predisposed. It doesn't mean it's going to be a problem that manifests. It doesn't mean it's something that can't be worked with, you know. And I like the idea of kind of like daytime thought work, you know, more than middle of the night thought work, because I think middle of the night thought work is, you know, it's a different setting. It's like dark, you're alone, you know, all this kind of stuff. It just, maybe you're thinking your prefrontal cortex. I've read stuff about that. You know, you just might not be kind of being, you might not be in your most rational state in the middle of the night. So just, you know, during the day, maybe like at lunch, just write a few things down, you know, talk to someone that you trust and just kind of work some things through. You don't necessarily look for an answer, and don't even ask for an answer. Just talk to someone that can help you and kind of like confirm that, you know, you're a pretty bright person. You're in medical school. You're helping people. You're going to be helping people for the rest of your life. That's what an amazing position to be in, and kind of look at it that way and focus on those, you know, those other things in life that really matter, and sleep will kind of take care of itself. You know, like Coach Daniel talks about the personal assistant, you know, just turn it over. You got daytime stuff that is just unbelievable. It's going on. You're meeting amazing people. You're doing amazing things. During the day, write a couple of them down. You know, affirm to yourself, like, yeah, I had this really good meeting with this person and we learned about, you know, I don't know, renal function or something, whatever, you know, and you're just like, it's an amazing thing. You're learning it about an amazing thing. And there's other things in your life too, not just the whole medical school thing. So I like the daytime idea of the thought work.
Yeah, and I really like the idea you said here about, like, you have so much to do during the day that you shouldn't, why are you trying to take on another thing, which is like taking control of your sleep? You have enough to do, you know, delegate that. Exactly. Love that idea. Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Neil, and so those are all the questions. Alex, let me know if there's any follow-up questions. And Neil says, I think that insomnia is just a form of anxiety. Any anxiety causes obsession. Obsession brings the need to be in control, like in a loop. 100%. I believe that 100%. And I've heard this so many times from clients that I think I need to say this more often. Is like when people are like, oh, I realized it was just anxiety, or I realized it was all psychological. And I'm like, yeah, yes, it is. And I feel like I should have explained it better, but 100%, I think it's definitely form anxiety. Mm-hmm. That's all it is. Akshay says, being a little loaded can be a good thing, actually. We don't have time to think about sleep. This may lead to sleep. It happened to me. Being a little, I think, like kind of overloaded, like having a lot of things to do, sometimes can help. It takes your attention away. It can be like a distraction for sure. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that is it. And you're heading over to drop-in class with our students now.
Yep. Michael. Got the member Zoom link ready to go.
Awesome.
Yep. Yeah, well, looking forward to it.
Perfect. Well, I think we'll end. I want to end with this one, actually. Where is it? Today's favorite. Everyone, we don't fall. We don't jump into sleep. We don't have control. We fall into sleep. Thank you, Neil.
Fall into sleep. I love it. I love it.
All right.
All right, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Take care.